Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is Nerdette. I'm Greta Johnson. This week, we are bringing you an extra special bonus episode from our friends who make another WBEZ podcast called When Magic Happens. The podcast features intergenerational conversations between Black women, and this episode is for the nerds. Hosts Taylor Coward, Cheryl Jackson, and Jennifer Long get into why some nerdy hobbies challenge traditional notions of Blackness. They embrace an idea that I really value on this show, that you can be a nerd about anything as long as you are unapologetically enthusiastic about it. Plus, they talk to author and anime lover Jackie A. I'll let the hosts take it from here.
Ladies.
Yes.
How do you define being a nerd or a geek?
Someone who is completely unbothered about other people's opinion, mm-hmm. about what they like or do.
Yep.
I mean, they are here for it. They were defined, you know, being true to yourself before it became a thing you do on Instagram. That's what nerds do. They're just passionate about what they do and unapologetic and unbothered by it.
When I hear the word nerd, I think of Steve Urkel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I have this idea of somebody, you know, asking, Did I do that? I mean, when you use the word nerd in that context, mm-hmm. that's what I think of a nerd.
Yeah, because I think this episode today is more about what are the things that you nerd out about?
Yeah.
Because now it's like a verb.
Yeah.
What are those things that really get you excited? What are those things that you could talk about nonstop?
You know what I nerd out about? I love golf. I mean, like every ounce of it. It makes my whole body happy. You can be connected with people. Mm-hmm. You build relationship with people. In fact, it reminds me a lot of life, you know, the game itself, you know, in the sense that the simplest thing is a swing. As evaluating your swing, you think you have to hit it so hard, but actually you don't. And I think sometimes that's how we move in life. You know, we put more into it than we need to when it's already a gift that we have. And then I like the fact that it is actually very personal. You are playing yourself, right? So it's a game of mental composure and physical mm-hmm. stamina. Mm-hmm. And you are also trying to overcome obstacles. And even if you hit the ball one direction, you know, how do I get out of that situation? But the main purpose and the main goal is to get that ball in the hole.
Hmm. But is that nerding out? Is that a nerd? I mean, some people might call that an athlete.
Well,
maybe.
I believe her because before we started recording, she said, well, did you know that there's actually a sprinkler system under the grass at the Masters that waters the grass and it keeps it feeling almost like carpet.
Yeah, that qualifies.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Those like, did you know? Like yeah. those facts that people don't know, that's
language of a nerd when yeah. it starts with did you know?
Yes,
okay.
Did you know?
To hear some inane, arcane information that is completely unusable.
I'm like, no, Jennifer, I didn't know about the grass at the American Masters and its sprinkler system.
Yeah, Augusta National. Like you could just it's wonderful.
In high school, I did theatrical makeup, and I found it to be the coolest thing ever, learning how to make realistic boils on people's faces and making teenagers look like they were 60. Shout out to a boy, Jared, I went to high school with. He played a devil-like character, and he had to be all red. and we needed a quick change where we needed to make him not red. And so we tested out Vaselines and creams and Noxzema and what would break down Ben Nye makeup the quickest. Yeah, through and through. Nerdy living.
I think to be a nerd or a geek, you must, it includes a tour of duty through theater.
You have to.
Okay, you yeah. got to roll through theater. I was set designer
yes.
in high school.
Work.
Yes. Okay. And some in college.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to do theater in, is nerdiness choir? I'm a choir person.
I was a
as
choir
well.
Person.
Yeah.
I was a little nerdy there.
That's a level. Mm. And when Glee came out, that was revolutionary
yes.
for my people.
Yes, it was.
Jennifer, you don't really strike me as nerdy. You know, weren't you the homecoming queen?
Yeah.
Come on now.
But I was nerdy.
Really?
I was on the debate team. I was on the speech team.
Work.
I love debate.
I don't know
speech.
If that really qualifies. It
you
just says
so?
You're smart. Oh. Nerdy is slightly different than just only being smart. I think a lot of nerdy people are smart.
But you know what? Nerdy to me is the thing that you can talk about at a party and no one is listening to you, but you're so into it.
Yeah.
Like the thing that
keep
you
keep talking about.
Literally,
it.
The thing that you could just talk about for 30 minutes nonstop that is so important to you.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that could be anything.
They're just unbothered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, unbothered.
Unbothered about what they love. So
it's in us all, though.
It's a yes.
It
sorry.
Is,
and I want people to embrace it more.
Yes, we're all nerdy about something.
Something.
Something. What are you nerdy about?
I'm a dress collector.
Oh.
So, I have like a lot of vintage dresses. I have modern dresses with like a vintage flair. I'm really into old cookbooks.
Mm.
Like I have.
Why? Tell me why.
Oh my gosh, the recipes in them. Coca-Cola chicken, shrimp mold.
Coca-Cola chicken.
Shrimp mold was definitely my favorite. It was like gelatin with suspended shrimp in it. And it has a lot of aspic recipes, which I hadn't heard of.
What's that?
Aspic is like gelatin, but like vegetable or meat based. So oh. it'll be like ham aspic. So it'll be like ham jello or tomato aspic. So it'll be a tomato gelatin with pieces of tomato and celery. And so just vintage recipes I'm really nerdy about because they're so strange. Like I made a Watergate salad for my family. And they were like, why are you mixing marshmallows and pistachio jello? And I'm like, give me 10 minutes and you will know why.
And
what
did they think?
They loved it.
They loved it?
Yeah.
Okay. You know how you can customize your reading, your feeds
mm-hmm.
For, you know, certain apps, news apps. I always customize a tag futurism because I just like it. So it started with Star Trek.
Come on, Trekkie.
Okay. Come on. I love 7 of 9. Okay. Strong woman character. I even when early days, you know, when it was Captain Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
Early days I was
Captain
Trekking.
Kirk.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And to the movies. But then, you know, I graduated because it's futurism that mm-hmm. I'm really attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm attracted to the unknown.
Like, do you want to get frozen? Like in the future? Like cryo?
Oh, no. But I am interested in afterlife.
Okay. You know those people that are like, I want to get frozen?
I don't know if I'm interested in being frozen. I just want to go. Okay. Just want to go.
Okay, sorry.
So, but I am interested in afterlife. So here's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm really obsessed,
mm-hmm.
low-key, maybe not low-key, kind of high-key.
Yes.
Obsessed with NDEs.
Yes,
reading
near
about,
death experiences.
Yeah, near death experiences.
And why are you obsessed with that?
Because it's fascinating. It's a way to pierce the veil to see.
They're like, I saw the light.
To see what is happening on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite that you've heard?
There's one that's called NDE Channel.
Mm-hmm.
There's another channel that says Heaven Awaits. It's got a real Christian tinge to it. So, which I mean, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you listen to them, There are no black people in the afterlife. Okay, that's the only problem I have with that channel. Okay. Like, is everybody got blue eyes? Okay.
The lily white beyond.
That's right. Exactly. So I'm like, let me put that one on ice.
But is that what they're describing? The stories are compelling.
Like, yes. So
like, give me an example.
Okay. So for people who have technically died, mm-hmm. you know, even if it's moments or for minutes, I watched this really compelling one the other day about a woman. She had a child, you know, went back to work after her maternity leave and went and got really sick and died. Mm. But what's really interesting to me is that, you know, who you are, your consciousness, that is who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, as Donald Lawrence says in his song, we are a spiritual beings having a physical experience and not physical beings that you know, spiritual experiences. Yeah. Yeah. So at our core, we're really spiritual beings. So I'm fascinated by the impact of these near-death experiences, their experience with the afterlife, you know, really understanding what this life, the meaning of their life in this lifetime. That fascinates me. Then I read this book. This is another good book. This book called Destiny of Souls. Mm. Fascinating. But Destiny of Souls is about I think it was Harvard trained psychiatrist who, you know, specialized in healing trauma through hypnosis. Mm. And he would regress people back to the point of where they experienced the trauma. And sometimes he would regress people back to the womb, their mother's womb. And then he messed around and regressed somebody back, okay, beyond the womb.
Ooh.
And he was like, after doing thousands, he was like, what is this person is describing? Because when he regressed back, they ask you to describe what you're.
Yeah, yeah.
So he started hearing things that he's never heard in his entire life or read about. What is this? And so then he began to focus all of his work on regressing people beyond this lifetime.
Wow.
And life between lives. It's like Star Trek on steroids.
Yeah. those are my favorite episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. Yes. I totally agree with you. When people are given near-death experiences or when they think they maybe are like a medium or reincarnated is cool too.
Right.
Because like it'll be people's daughters. And they'll be like, oh, when you were a little girl, you used to do this too. A little girl will say that to their mother.
Yes.
And they'll say things that their grandmother used to say to them. They're like, are you my grandma?
Right.
Yeah. And kids grow out of it.
Right.
And so there's spooky things about kids that maybe they're so young, they're still connected to wherever we were before this.
They remember more poignantly. They more present. I think this life is about losing track of who we really are and not remembering who we are.
Yeah.
So I find that really fascinating. So
Cheryl, I would never know this about you. Are you also into sci-fi? Sometimes a lot of these themes border on
sci-fi. I'm totally into sci-fi. Okay. I mean, anything, you know.
Did you like The Twilight Zone?
I loved it. It was scary to me, but I loved it.
That's my mom's ringtone for me. And so she'll be somewhere and I'll call her and people will be like, why? She'll be like, my daughter likes The Twilight Zone.
I like learning about sci-fi, things that that are beyond me. Mm-hmm. Or even if it's 2,000 years ago. Yes, I'm sci-fi. 10 toes down for sci-fi.
Yes. Love it.
Sheldon, you busy?
I'm always busy. This mind is capable of advanced multitasking. Yeah, currently, I'm attempting to solve the Penrose conjecture. I'm composing my Nobel acceptance speech for when I've solved the Penrose conjecture. And I'm wondering how mermaids have babies.
I think nerdiness it's those things that excite you.
Yeah.
And no one else has to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just talk about it forever. Like, how long do we just talk about near-death experience?
Okay.
Yeah.
And we were just
intrigued.
Yeah. We're going to go home and go on the YouTube and look up the near-death people.
Yes.
But, like, for me, I found my people in doing makeup. Like, makeup crew from high school still hangs out. Like, I just saw them last weekend.
Aww.
And so we have this bond of like, yeah, we used to be in the wings painting people green and painting people red. And, you know, we learned how to make people look like they got burned and just all these things. And I do think that's why people, once they do get excited about something, it's so exciting and refreshing to find other people that like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel confident and you feel comfortable to talk about the thing. Like, I'm sure when Jennifer is around golf people, you're all just basking in golf.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cheryl, when you're with us talking about your NDEs, like people that can share in your enthusiasm. And I think for so long, people's nerdiness and things that were a little unconventional or alternative were frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
And people would get bullied for things that they like.
Right.
And so in our own separate fandoms and separate nerdy groups, were there other Black women or Black people in your spaces?
As you know, I grew up in New Mexico, so there was no Black people.
To begin with.
Right. So there's that. So no.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
But no, you know, what I will say is I think that there was discomfort, you know, just kind of, you know how you go somewhere and there's like a vibe, you know, kind of
othering.
Yeah. Like this is, I've never seen someone who looks like you before on the golf course. You know, there was that feeling for sure. And
I felt that in chess.
Yeah.
And so that could be a feeling of, I don't want to say traditionally white sports, but sports that are predominantly, you see white people playing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You kind of have that feeling of, ooh, this is kind of scary stepping into it. So
I
relate to that.
Yeah. And not that welcoming and almost like, you know, you got to know the secret.
And
you know,
being a girl on top of that.
Yeah.
Because I don't see a lot of girls playing golf.
Yeah.
And I wasn't around a lot of girls playing chess.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So, but now that's different.
Your daughter is playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With me.
It's getting better. I won't say. I mean, I think you're immersed in that world and you just, you know, everybody knows you. You know everybody and women. But I've been in corporate all my life and, you know, golf is a mainstay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been the only woman and African-American. And it is very intimidating.
Mm-hmm. So in your sci-fi spaces, did you feel alone in that as well?
You know, I had three brothers and sisters. So we all were on the laying on the floor and I was always watching Star Trek together. So, you know, I had some company. What they did make fun of me because I was really interested in futurism, piercing the veil. And so at a young age, you know, all I had was horoscopes and numerology. Okay. So they were like, oh, Lord, here she come again. Okay.
With her numbers.
You know, do you really?
What is your sign?
Okay, right. Aquarius. I'm such an Aquarian.
Are you?
I am totally an Aquarian. Can't you tell?
Yeah.
I'm weird.
Well, you're not weird.
Well, I'm just different.
Yeah.
I don't know what astrology was like back in the day. Was that taboo? Everybody's into it now.
Yes. Very taboo, especially numerology.
What
Child,
is that?
I would go to the Walgreens and get Town and Country because I really liked their horoscope. And then I would get AL Magazine because they had great numerology. I was learning about numerology. I was a mess.
I love that you had a preferred source for your numerology.
My parents were like, who is this child?
Yeah.
Who birthed her? Who does she belong to? I did not fit the mold.
Yeah. So, Cheryl, when your dad was just like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made me think about pushback as being Black women in these spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you ever been told that the thing that you enjoy is something Black folks don't do?
There's a theme in my life. Okay.
Same. Revelation.
Only Black person fill in the blank.
Wow.
Okay. That is the theme of my life. The only Black person fill in the blank.
Wow.
When does that not apply? Except for here. And that's why I love it here.
Yeah.
That's why it's magical.
In this room.
Yeah.
Right.
Love that. We're all Black.
It's magical.
What about you, Jennifer? Did you have that experience of people being like, what you doing here?
Yeah. They did. I think I just got accustomed to, because I wasn't seeing it anyway, I got accustomed to, you know, I was comfortable being uncomfortable. I just got accustomed to that. And I also, you know, I think early on my dad, he was so confident in that space that it made me feel confident in that space. And observing him and how he navigated it, I just kind of, you know, emulated him or did what he did. And I think, you know, that sort of helped me feel comfortable being uncomfortable.
Being cozy.
Yeah.
Yes, another Beyonce reference.
Renaissance.
Yeah, but hello, you know who inspired me in this is like Condoleezza Rice, you know, because she actually is a golfer.
Come on, Condi.
And, you know, just, I mean, I'm in many circles for her, I'm sure she's been the only, you know?
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Yeah.
That was probably her way of connecting to those people she worked with.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot about the othering that we felt, but this Condi situation, I'm sorry, I have to keep calling her Condi. Condi has me thinking about community, because you were like, seeing Condi made me feel okay wanting to play. And so I'm wondering, did y'all find community in a space like I did with my makeup girls? Did you find community in your hobbies? And what was that like?
Yes. I have a girlfriend, her name's Mary Jane. And she was also like really like early on into golf. She would, you know, be part of these clinics. She'd invite me to these clinics. And I think seeing her and seeing this other group of women kind of grow around the game also inspired me.
Mm. What about you, Cheryl?
Nope. Nope. No, I really don't have anything else to say about that. I think
you made one here though.
Yeah,
because did you see how Jennifer leaned in when you were talking about the near death experience?
Yes.
Girl, I was like,
she was like, wait,
right, that's
when we get into that.
And my sister in law now, I got her hooked. She's good. Like losing nights of sleep listening to Destiny of the Soul and going down the rabbit hole for NDE experiences. So
thank you, Cheryl.
But that feels good, right?
I like you know, sharing and, you know, getting other people curious about, you know,
the thing you like.
Yeah, the thing I like. Oh. I guess I've never had community, and plus I'm an Aquarian. We don't really need community. I mean, it'd be nice, but we know how to strike out on our own and just barrel down the path.
So,
what's your sign?
I'm an Aries. I'm a fire sign.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah. And what's your sign, Jennifer?
I'm a Libra.
A Libra.
I need balance.
For lovers.
Yep.
Okay. And now the fog is clearing. Okay. I get it. Okay. The fog is clearing.
Coming up, we learn from Jackie A., a certified, nerdified triple threat. She's an entrepreneur, author, and a mental health advocate.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hasia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
Jackie A. first got into Japanese anime and manga with help from her brothers, who spent hours watching animated shows like Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh!, and Sailor Moon. She loved it so much, she eventually started a business, Adorned by Chi, a magical manga lifestyle brand offering hyper-feminine clothes and manga art. Today, she's the creator of all kinds of stuff, anime art, short stories, the author of two books, The Magical Girl's Guide to Life and How to Be a Better Adult. And she's part of the Magical Girl community. That's a fantasy genre all about young girls with magical powers, like the Powerpuff Girls and Sailor Moon. She tells me about what it's like being a black girl in that community and how she connects magic with mental health and about the people that inspired her to be a super nerd.
I wanted people to see the things I create and feel the same way I felt when I first saw Janelle Monáe. Like, I love Janelle Monáe. We have the same birthday and we're both from Kansas. And we're both weird black women creating weird things. So Here was a black woman who looked like me, who was like dancing around in a suit talking about being an alien and a robot. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. So up until that point, I just was alone. I just felt alone. I didn't really have a lot of friends growing up. Luckily for me, there was the internet. So I started a blog and I found like other people. I actually had a Janelle Monáe fan website. And I think the internet is a godsend because I was able to find community through it. And then also leaving Kansas also helps. So, yeah.
I'm sure. So were you finding that there wasn't a big community of like-minded people there?
No, not at all. No, there was barely any black people.
So, never been.
Oh, yeah, don't go. There's no reason.
This was brought to you by KansasTourism.com.
Yeah, I feel so bad because even in my book, Magical Girls Guide to Life, like one of the first things I say is that like I grew up in a very gray, very flat place. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm sorry for the Kansas slander, but like...
You said that you like kind of the hyper feminine, soft pink look. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get any pushback from the people around you about what you liked and enjoyed?
Yeah, I got bullied actually because I would wear like these bright dresses, this big hair. I remember one girl coming up to me and was like, why would you wear that? And what's funny is that same girl is now a customer of mine. And so it's like, I feel like people kind of shoot down and push back against things because they don't even know any better, because they've seen that like, we're not supposed to like this. We're not supposed to dress like this. Mm-hmm. So now it's honestly a great thing that like, I feel like more alternative like styles are being accepted. And like, I used to dress like Janelle Monáe even. Like I would wear 3-piece suits to school. I had like 20 pairs of Oxfords in every color, like the frou-frou dresses. Yeah, the flower crowns.
You also use the phrase a lot, magical girl, which I love. Why does it resonate with your approach to fandom?
I really love magical girls because usually when a female hero wants to be more powerful, they like cut off their hair, they put on pants, and they like, you know, go through a transformation to embrace masculinity, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But when you see stuff like that a lot, but then you see feminine traits being attributed to like, oh, she's dumb, she's ditzy, and all of that. And in order to like be more powerful, be smarter, you gotta tone down who you are. And so what I love about magical girls is that they become more feminine as they power up. Their skirts get shorter, their nails get sparklier, their makeup is like slaying. And so that's how I wanna be in life. Like I don't want to have to change myself. And I've tried. I just can't. And so it's like, I don't want to have to change myself or speak in certain ways or command a certain energy to, you know, save the day. I want to be able to step into my hyper femininity bag that I like to be in. And yeah, that's why I resonate.
Hopping in your hyper femininity bag. That should be the name of, no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, that should be the name of the episode. So in what ways does participating in the magical girl fandom inform your blackness?
I don't know. I feel like I know that everyone is now saying that like saying that Black women are magic is kind of harmful in ways, because it feeds into that whole, like, Black women are unbreakable, unshakable, and we can just take whatever you give us because we're magic, you know? And so I guess that's maybe how I would have framed it before that school of thought has, like, changed my opinion. So I don't know. I feel like we as Black people, like, so I was watching a video about Atlanta Afro Surrealism and all of that. And the person in the video on YouTube was saying how just existing as a Black person is a surreal experience, because like, things will happen to us, and it's like, we almost have to sit and think, was that real?
No one else would understand.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay, but that person did that to me. And then another person would be like, I don't get it. You know, like, so, and then you have to, like, walk them through why that is crazy. It really is a surreal experience to live as a Black person, where, like, these microaggressions happen every day, but they could also not be microaggressions. But then also you could have, like, a really in-your-face racist moment happen, and, like, just walking around the world knowing that, like, my skin says so much about me before I even open my mouth to people is, like, nuts. And so I feel like, to me, when I think of magic and Blackness, I'm like, magic would be the only way that we could, like, move through this world without this burden of racism, burden of Blackness, like, you know, maybe if I had a magic book or something, I could, like, make you just see me as a person instead of, like, being racist and weird. I don't know. Hopefully that answers your question.
How did you work on that pride of just being able to be like, I'm a nerd. It is what it is.
Honestly, I feel like being neurodivergent helps a lot with stuff like that, because, if there's some kind of social... usually I don't get the social structure of things until I get, like, a social lashing, and I'm like, oh, I wasn't supposed to do that. So, you know, calling myself weird or, like, being a nerd, because I just am those things, I don't think I was ever really ashamed of it. Like, even in those moments where I was being bullied, it's like, I don't know why. I look back and I'm like, why didn't that work on me? Because I definitely was crying about it, you know? And so it's like, I would cry about it and then put my suit back on, you know? So
you're like, I'm just going to be bullied all the way into putting my magic suit back on. I love that.
Yeah. So I don't even know if it's a pride thing or, like, a delusional thing where I'm like, I'm getting bullied and I'm being treated different, but what else am I supposed to do? Because it isn't natural for me to be any other way. So, I think that's it.
How has, for you, being a magical girl allowed you to create a safe space for yourself and for other Black girls?
Sometimes people just need to see someone who looks like them expressing in a certain way to kind of make them feel safer to be themselves. Just like when I saw Janelle Monáe and I'm like, you know, like,
it clicked.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I don't have to just be alone all the time. There are other people. Like, if there's one Black woman doing this on a major stage and she's from where I'm from, there's probably thousands. So, sometimes all it takes is seeing that one person who's, like, super open about something that you're going through, that just makes it okay. Like, we just need that, like, reassurance. So I think that I give people the kind of reassurance to, like, let's talk about it. Like, I know this is probably weird to say, and I know this is probably something I shouldn't say in public, but if it's on my mind, then I'm going to speak about it. So
it's coming out.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I try to tell people, because people ask me for advice all the time. And I tell them, just desensitize everybody. Because what I've noticed is when you just do something a lot, like when I started talking about my mental health, at first people were like, what's going on? Like, are you okay? And then the more I did it, the more they were just like, okay, she's just expressing herself. And so,
breaking down the wall to normalize it.
Exactly.
Love that too. Well, thank you for doing this today.
No, thanks for inviting me. This is fun.
I liked her.
Mm-hmm. She's cute.
I did. I want to see her 20 pairs of Oxfords, though. That's so cute.
Yeah, she has the cutest style. And the way that she dresses definitely reflects the bubbliness of her personality.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good word to describe her, bubble.
Yeah.
Bubbly.
Yes. You know, it made me think that maybe we're all nerds. I mean, we all have something different and unique that we're interested in. We may not outwardly, you know, communicate it. Cheryl mentioned, you know, it's not always something we bring up to everyone, but we all have something that is unique and different about us.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And sometimes you just need to see one person doing the thing that you're afraid to do.
Our society needs to start teaching individualism.
Yes.
Yes. Because that's, I think, what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, is individualism.
It. Yep.
And so to teach that it's okay, how to lean into it and embrace it and wear it as a red badge of courage.
Yeah.
Like, this is me.
Or pink.
Right. Right. With some sparkles on top.
Yes.
Everybody, I'm nerdy and I'm proud.
You're cute, Nerd Taylor.
Thank you.
Well, let's drink to that. Let's drink to the nerds, okay? Where's
Yay
that
to
wine?
Nerds.
Play to nerds.
And that's a wrap for our Black Nerds and Geeks episode. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast.
And also, big news, we've got a newsletter, the perfect companion to this podcast. Subscribe to get listener spotlights, episode links, sassy quotes from yours truly, hot topics, women crushes who inspire us, and so much more. Don't miss out and join our email community at wbez.org/newsletters.
Special thanks to our guest, Jackie A., for teaching us all about Black nerd culture today. Check her out at jackiea.com. That's JACQUEAYE.com. And get her new book. It's called How to Be a Better Adult.
You can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on socials at Cheryl Jackson. That's Cheryl with an E.
You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Long, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
And you can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
And we want to hear from you, our magical listeners. Our email address is magic@wbez.org. So tell us what you want to hear on the show. We want to hear from you.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Our associate producer is Elizabeth Cambridge. Brendan Banizak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Editing by Justin Bull. Engineering by Dave Miska and Deshaun Smith. See y'all next week.
What are you, Brianna, our producer, magical producer? What are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
She's a
Scorpio. Oh, intense.
Smart, brilliant.
I got a Scorpio child.
Yes.
They don't play.
They do not.
Okay, is that true, Brianna?
She be bouncing around here like she nice, okay? She gonna sting us one of these days.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.